Old photographs of a 50s-style American garage. One shows a man and woman hugging beside a pickup truck, as a sign above them reads, "Grand opening today." Another is of a mustachioed man sitting in a modest office. A boy of about 10 sits on the desk beside him, and they grin. Titles appear over the black and white photos. A White Eagle Carolco Pictures presentation. A Gordon Company production. A John Flynn film. Sylvester Stallone. Lock Up. Donald Sutherland. John Amos. Darlan Flugel. Tom Sizemore. Frank McRae. William Alan Young. Larry Romano. And Sonny Landham as Chink. Associate producer Tony Manafo. Casting by Joy Todd. Music by Bill Conti. Edited by Michael N. New and Daniel Brocku. Executive producer Michael S. Glick. Written by Richard Smith and Jeb Stewart and Henry Rosenbaum. Produced by Lawrence Gordon and Charles Gordon. Directed by John Flynn. Frank Leone sits in a garage staring wistfully at the photos which are hung up on the wall. He's a muscular, dark-haired man in his early 40s. Other photos show an American football game in progress and the team leaving the pitch afterwards. Frank turns back to his desk and wipes the dust off other framed photographs, which show him and an old man hugging and working on an engine together. A blonde-haired woman in her 30s strolls into the garage and calls up to the office section.
Excuse me?
Yeah?
I'm looking for a mechanic. Anybody around here fit that description?
Yeah, I might be able to help you out. What do you need?
I have to get it fixed right away. I need somebody who really knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that busy, so what's the problem?
I'm not sure. Maybe I ought to get under the hood and check it out.
They break into smiles.
Yeah, maybe I better.
Frank pulls her coat down off her shoulders and they kiss warmly. Frank breaks off and smiles at her.
It's okay from here.
Great customer service.
They head outside.
A little bit of cleaning, a little bit of paint. This place will be ready for business. About time for me to play in the Super Bowl.
Those guys are gonna take you apart.
Frank's out on a snowy park with a group of kids.
Okay, we're gonna do it this time. Are ready?
Two groups of boys crouch down and face each other.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
One of the boys holds a football poised.
Hey, hey.
The ball is thrown back to Frank. He catches it and the kids scuffle as Frank calls to one of the boys.
You can do it! Touch back!
The boy runs out deep as Frank teases the others with the ball.
Here it comes!
Frank hurls the ball across the park. The dark-haired boy runs for it and catches it. The boy beams and throws the ball down.
Okay, suckers won! Suckers won!
The kids crowd around Frank.
Suckers won! Suckers won!
Frank and the woman make relaxed hand gestures to each other.
Hey, Frankie, what's that?
Means everything's okay.
He walks over.
So how do you think I did?
Pretty good with the sixth graders.
You really know how to make a guy feel great, don't they?
He pulls her close to him.
Hey, what's the matter? We don't look too happy today?
Missing you already.
Well, I'm pretty soon you're gonna get so sick of seeing me around here, you're gonna pray to have some time on your own, you know that?
I don't believe it.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
They kiss. Frank breaks off and looks at her.
Now that's Italian.
They hug. Frank puts his arm round her and strides off.
I gotta go.
No.
Gotta go.
No,
yes, yes.
No.
Yes. So you don't think I'm so good against 10-year-olds? You can say I should try a different sport, maybe? Huh?
Yeah, golf. Golf.
Golf?
Yeah.
Want to see my swing?
I'd like to see you in whites.
Like this little guy?
He mimes a golf swing.
Some
you see me on the golf course, huh? Now, you're lucky I have a sense of humor. Mm. I would take that personally.
Melissa, the blonde woman, holds her arms tightly around Frank's waist, and they stroll together through the park. Later, a black, late 60s-style muscle car cruises down the road past a wire mesh fence protected by rolls of razor wire. The car turns off the road and parks outside a large, modern brick building. Melissa sits in the driving seat with an unhappy expression. Frank sits beside her and turns to her.
Time to go to work. Right, be good.
They kiss. Frank turns to open the door.
Wait a minute. I got something for you.
What's this?
It's supposed to bring you luck.
Melissa gives him a gold ring on a neck chain.
It's nice.
She laughs emotionally.
Thanks.
Frank pulls her close and they kiss again.
I could use it.
He gets out carrying a sports bag. Melissa lowers her window and watches Frank walk towards the building. He turns back and gives her the everything's okay gesture. She smiles and does the same, then fights back tears. Frank enters a prison.
Hey, Rod.
Hey, how'd it go, Frank? Good for a long?
The best, man.
Hey, did you see that game?
No, I have to admit, I missed it.
Hey, it was awesome.
Was it, really?
Yes, it was. You missed a good one, buddy.
I missed a good one. I have a feeling I had more fun than you did this weekend.
I bet you did.
Frank stands still and the guard frisks him.
Here you go, Roger. So how's the diesel running, Jimmy?
Forget it. It stops, it stalls, it rolls. It don't go, I don't know what to do with the damn thing.
You got water in the fuel line.
Open your mouth.
You sure? I bet time on it.
Take it off.
All right.
Frank walks onto a wing wearing a prisoner's uniform.
I'll see you later, Jimmy.
I'll get you more starch next time.
Do that.
The other prisoners greet Frank.
Yo, Frank! What'd you bring me?
Hey, here you go. Go kill yourself.
Cigarettes.
I thought you were going to bring me a girl.
A girl? Had one for you, but the guards liked her so much they decided to keep her at the front gate.
I knew this shit was going to happen. I can't depend on you. Look, let me ask you something else. Did you go see the garage?
Oh, the garage. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful?
Tell me, it's beautiful.
The garage I ever stuck up was beautiful.
Yeah, this one is. It's great.
Look, can I tell you something?
Yeah?
I'm getting out of here soon. I don't come cheap, but you know I know my way around cars.
Yeah.
Need any help, call me.
Hey, Johnny, I fixed them, I don't steal them.
I was framed.
Frank smiles and walks off.
What? I was framed.
Frank strolls into his cramped cell. A calendar, a few posters and some small framed pictures are stuck on the whitewashed stone walls. A portable TV stands on a cabinet opposite a cluttered desk. Frank sits on his low bunk and looks down at the gold ring hanging from his neck. The prison's lit up against the night sky. Jimmy and three other guards march towards the control booth and hold up a sheet of paper.
What is this in here, Jimmy?
I don't know, but it's official.
The officer in the booth releases a door and the four men walk through. The other guards are dressed differently to Jimmy and wear outdoor coats and peep caps. They stride into the wing and head up a flight of stairs towards Frank's cell.
Frank 210!
Frank's cell door slides open.
On your feet, Leone. On your feet!
What do you want?
Take him!
What are you doing here?
You're being transferred.
Transferred where?
What the hell?
Two guards forcefully restrain him. Jimmy turns to the captain.
For Christ's sake, that's not necessary.
That back, officer. Prisoner is in our custody now.
Get the wrong guy!
Frank, wearing his vest and shorts, struggles as the two guards try to cuff him. Desk clutter and a framed photo of Melissa clatter to the floor as they shove Frank onto the bed and jam a baton across his throat. One of the guards stamps on the photo of Melissa, smashing the glass. They manhandle Frank out of the cell and across the wing. The officer in the control booth releases the door and the guards drag Frank towards an armoured van. They throw Frank into the back of the van and drive him out of the prison.
Hey,
a guard in the front closes the grill between the cab and the back of the van. Alone and handcuffed, Frank slams his shoulder against the back of the cab in frustration. Its red roof lights flashing, the prison van drives through the nighttime streets and arrives at a high stone wall surrounding a large forbidding building. The van slows down as it reaches a set of large solid metal gates. From high gantries inside the compound, prison guards turn on bright search lamps and train them on the main gates. They hold shotguns and watch grimly as the gates slowly slide open and the van backs inside. Guards yank open the van's back doors. They drag Frank out. He blinks in the glare of the spotlights.
Hello.
I don't know where the hell we are!
Shut up!
You're the wrong man! You made a mistake!
A set of huge metal doors slides open.
There's no mistake.
A lean, middle-aged man with cropped grey hair and a moustache steps out.
Welcome to Gateway, Leone.
Drumgoole?
That's Warden Drumgoole, convict!
Captain?
Move him!
Drumgoole smiles coldly and steps back inside. The guards force Frank through the gates behind him.
You'll be issued one bar of soap, two rolls of toilet paper per month. Somebody steals, turn your ass around. Somebody steals them, or you lose them, you will be wiping your ass with your shirt. You have one uniform. Your number is 510. Remember it. This is C-Wing. You will eat, shower, and take your yard time with your wing. There's 6 counts a day. Miss one, you're in the hole. Miss two, and I'll personally put you in the house of pain. Convict, two things. One, I am Meisner. Two, never fuck with Meisner. Inside.
The captain bundles Frank into a cell and locks the door.
Sir, what about the cuffs?
Let him get used to them.
The stocky, middle-aged Captain Meisner strolls off down the corridor, followed by two guards. Frank steps back from his barred door.
Better watch your back, man!
He slams himself against the wall of his dank, gloomy cell and strains against his shackles in frustration. Next morning, an officer pulls open a heavy metal bolt and prisoners come out of their cells.
Right! Hold up!
They wear prison-issue light khaki shirts and trousers and slowly file along the walkways and landings. A small group of burly inmates with long hair and tattoos wear black t-shirts with biker designs on the front underneath their open prison shirts. Frank also wears prison uniform and has his hands cuffed behind his back as two guards escort him down the corridor. He glances up at a surveillance camera mounted on a barred partition and then at another on the opposite wall as he's marched through a set of double doors. They reach a barred door. A guard in a control booth releases the door, which slides open. The two officers guide Frank through and stand him in front of a green metal door.
Admin one, crack it!
A tall, bulky guard with receding hair stands beside Frank, who looks away.
Oh yeah, you better not eyeball me, boy. So how are your accommodations last night? Just like your mama used to do you?
A guard grins.
You did his mama, didn't you? Twice.
Frank's ankles are shackled and he continues staring ahead as a guard twists a switch on the wall. The green door slides open and Manly, the tall guard, shoves Frank inside. Frank finds himself on the threshold of an execution chamber. An electric chair stands in the centre and large windows look out into the viewing area. He steps inside and the door shuts behind him.
Hey! Open the door! You hear me?
Drumgoole's in the viewing area.
Hello, Frank.
Frank turns.
In the old days, the warden would have come down that private passageway from his office to this execution chamber to witness the putting to death of a criminal. 120 men and 4 women were electrocuted in that chair before it was retired. Beautiful, isn't it? When I came to Gateway, it was falling apart, so I had it restored, put back into perfect working order to remind me of how things ought to be. Nearly 5 years since you escaped from Treadmore, Frank.
Time flies when you're having fun.
In all the years that I was warden there, you're the only man that ever made it over my wall.
Well, so I read in the papers.
Yes, of course you did. You and your lawyer saw to it that everything made it into the papers, didn't you? The media. Yeah. Distorting the truth. Distorting the facts, making a criminal into a hero and a warden into a criminal. You took my future away from me. You and those bleeding-heart politicians, they sent you to Norwood. That's a country club. I ended up here in Gateway. The worst shithole in the system.
You don't remember, do you? I asked you. Now, I begged you, Drumgoole. Do you remember that? I had 2 weeks to go before I was released. And all I asked for is 1 hour. 1 hour to visit with that old man before he died. Do you remember that?
I was doing my job.
There's a lot of ways to do your job. I mean, you could have given me an escorted leave. You could have had armed guards. You should have done that for me.
You broke the law. You broke the law, and I was punished.
And I got 5 goddamn years, and I paid my debt.
To the state, not to me. But you're going to.
All I know is I've only got 6 months left on my sentence.
In Gateway, 6 months could be a lifetime. Anything could happen. This is hard time, Frank. You have no rights here unless I give them to you. You feel no pleasure unless I tell you you can. This is hell. I'm going to give you the guided tour.
He smiles malevolently and Frank swallows. Later.
Okay, tough guy.
Open your mouth.
All your tongue around. You trying to kiss me, huh?
It's your ears.
Frank stands in just his underpants as a guard looks into his mouth and ears. He slaps Frank's head and walks off as Manley comes across and stares at Frank.
What are you looking at, asshole?
You check his nose?
Check it.
Good.
Manley turns away from Frank, then elbows him.
This is a delousing chamber. Do not breathe. Xylantrophic gas can be harmful to your lungs. Stand with your legs apart, arms extended out and away from your body. When I tell you, I want you to take a deep breath and hold it for 30 seconds. Start now.
Still semi-naked, Frank stands in a glass-walled chamber. A guard in a booth flicks a switch and gas sprays into the chamber. Frank takes a deep breath and shuts his eyes as the gas envelops him. He leans on the glass as Manley strolls over. Braden, the guard in the booth, looks up at a digital clock on the wall.
10 seconds.
Drungle joins Manley and they watch Frank through the glass. The clock on the wall reaches 30 seconds and Braden makes to turn off the gas. Drungle stops him.
Not yet. He can take more.
Frank anxiously pounds on the chamber door. Braden looks away as Drungle continues coldly staring at Frank. Frank staggers around the chamber in a panic. He winces and holds his hands against the glass, while Drungle watches him without emotion. Braden glances nervously at Drungle, who stands beside him at the controls.
Braden, you will learn that inmates are physically more capable than you could imagine. If you underestimate them, it will cost you dearly.
Drungle turns away. Braden shuts off the gas and releases the chamber door. Frank rushes out of the chamber and into a guard who swings him against a wire mesh fence. Frank collapses to the floor. Windows are illuminated in various prison buildings, and a guard saunters down a quiet nighttime corridor. Frank lies on his bunk, pounding the brown wall beside him with his fist. Next morning, crowds of prisoners mill around in the exercise yard. One man bench presses large weights, while another does chin-ups. Inmates watch suspiciously as Frank comes into the yard and walks by a group of pigeons.
Watch out for the birds. What the hell you doing?
Sorry.
The bird lover looks accusingly at Frank, who walks on. A burly black prisoner with arrows shaved into his head walks past Frank and barges him aggressively, then turns and stares at him. Another inmate barges into Frank. Frank carries on walking, past a prisoner wearing pale trousers, fur-lined denim jacket, and a black woolly hat. He's in his 30s with a dazed stubble on his chin and eyes Frank carefully. Frank sits on a weights bench.
Move it, Ace. That's my spot.
Weber, the prisoner with the woolly hat, stands with a group of heavy-looking inmates and calls over to Frank. Drumbull watches from his office window as Frank stands casually and walks a little further down the yard. He sits on another bench, and Weber swaggers over to him.
Uh-oh. That's my spot, too.
Inmates gather round.
Any spot in here that isn't yours?
Nope, they're all mine. Want to use it? You gotta pay.
Weber holds a small metal spike behind his back. Frank stands to go.
Not so fast, Ace. I'm not gonna gouge you. A little thing around your neck? That'll buy you a spot for the day.
Frank shoves him. Weber pulls the spike.
Put a fucking hole in your heart!
Break it up!
Braden barges through the inmates. One of Weber's cronies takes the spike, which is passed from man to man.
All right, Weber, drop the shank in the dirt.
There ain't no shank, Braden.
He shows his hands.
All right, let's go. Fight, you motherfucker! Spread him! Spread him, goddammit!
You're making a big mistake, asshole.
Braden frisks him.
You're going in the hole for carrying a shank.
Where's your witness? Where's your evidence? Well, where is
he? Get on out of
here. He saw it. He didn't see anything.
You saw him carrying the shank, right?
I didn't see nothing.
You're making a bad mistake, Braden.
Get the fuck out of here.
Two more guards march Weber through the pack of onlookers. Frank makes to leave, and Braden grabs him by the arm.
He would have put that shank in you. What'd you cover for him for?
You get your rules, we got ours.
One of the prisoners nods as Frank walks through the crowd. Drungle stares down from his office. Later, Frank's mopping a corridor while Manley sits slouched at a desk nearby. A gawky-looking man with slick back hair and a big grin strides over to Frank.
Hey. I do know the face and I do know the name. Hey, Frank. Frank Leone, right? Right? Name's Dallas. I was in Treadmore, man, when you were there, right before you busted out.
Oh, yeah, you were on A-block, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. I was on A-block. You got a good memory, man.
Treadmore doesn't have an A-block. Watch your feet.
Okay. Dig it. Look. I was there on transfer, man.
Mm-hmm.
Transfer, less than 2 hours, but I know all about you, man. You're looking at a down-home historian and devoted fan.
DTA.
Frank continues mopping.
DTA, okay. What's that, man?
Don't trust anybody. Words you survive by. Watch your feet.
DTA.
DTA.
Oh, come on, you gotta trust somebody, right, Frank? Let me hip you to the joint, okay, man? You see this fat tub of shit back here? Now, that's manly. His partner's Wiley. They're a couple sadistic pigs, man. They ain't happy unless they're putting a hurt to you, if you know what I mean. All right? I mean, if the warden wants to put the boot to you, he uses them, okay? And look, this dude over here, the black dude in the booth, that's Captain Meisner, all right? He runs the guards, okay? And he's one bad dude, okay?
We already met. Look, I gotta do my work, okay? Watch your feet.
Okay, cool. Cool, man.
He makes to go and comes back.
So listen, Frank. When you decide to make your break, okay, and I know you will, you come talk to me, all right? You come talk to Dallas, okay? Anything you want, anything you need, man, I can get it. Anything, all right? Okay?
No way. No damn way.
Come on, what are you talking about, man? Aren't you the guy who's always crying about how you need a man who knows his engines? Well, I brought you the man, Holmes.
Look, don't Holmes me. The only thing you brought here is trouble.
Come on, Eclipse.
You know, I heard all about you, Leone. And whatever's between you and Drumgold ain't coming in here. As you can see, the Boers ain't got no problem with me, and I ain't got no problem with the Boers.
They're in a workshop. Eclipse, a paunchy black man, strides away. Dallas follows him.
Hey, come on, Eclipse. You're making me look bad, man. Now, I promised the dude a job, and you owe me.
Hey, look, I don't owe you or nobody nothing. Hey, you, get your face out of that motor. Get your face out of there. You don't know nothing about motors. Stay out of that motor. Stay away from it, okay?
It's just been a long time since I've seen an old 265 small block.
Well, look good then, because that's the last time you're going to see one in this shop.
Hey, okay? Come on, man. Frank, we can work this out, man. We're all gentlemen here.
That's all right. It's his place. He knows what he wants. It's okay. Thanks anyway.
Dallas watches Frank go and turns angrily to Eclipse.
Thanks a lot. You made me look beautiful, man. I appreciate the endorsement. Hey, Frank, hold up. You didn't want this job anyway, man. Grease under your fingernails, oil on your clothes, you know? Don't worry, man, you're in good hands. I'm gonna take care of you.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Frank's frisked before he leaves.
Prison joke.
Go ahead.
Prison joke. Hey, I lost my watch, man. Why don't you give me a hand looking for it?
Roll your ass up out of here, man.
Officer Vasquez, you ought to put out a few pounds. You look a little frail. Hey, Frank! Listen, man, I meant what I said, okay? I'm gonna get you something good.
Go,
something
place.
Easy, something cool. You're gonna love it, man.
All right, Dallas, shut up and get inside.
So shut up and get inside.
Drumgold watches as the prisoners are shut into their cells. Officer Manley gives Frank a brown paper bag.
It's your shit from Norwood, Leon.
Frank goes into his cell and Manley closes the door. Meisner checks his watch.
All right, lock in!
A guard pulls a large metal lever, locking all the cell doors. Frank empties the contents of the bag onto his bunk. The photo of Melissa has been torn up. He picks up the pieces as Manley comes to the door.
Problem?
Frank turns away from him.
No, I got no problems.
He tries to reconstruct the picture. Melissa stands at the reception desk talking to a guard.
And I want to know what the hell is going on.
Look, miss, all I know is that he's in the general population with 2,000
I don't give a damn about the general population. I want to know about Frank Leone, and I'm not leaving here until I hear
miss.
From him.
Leone's all right.
He was a model prisoner at Norwood. Why did you bring him here?
Routine transfer.
Captain Meisner walks away. In the prison boiler room, Frank's face glistens with sweat as he scrapes corrosion off one of the large machines. Dallas swaggers across to him.
Hey, Frank! Hey, man! It's hot in here, man.
Yeah, I know. But at least it's easy.
I know, man. I'm sorry. I didn't do too good. No time to go on the negative. Now walk with me, man. I gotta show you something that's important. Okay?
No. Here, you try it.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
No, you'll like it, really. Try it.
I'm not into this hard labor, man.
It's cool. It's easy.
Okay.
Yeah, I burnt it. Oh, come on, man. Come on, you're gonna love this.
Frank follows him out.
Watch the steam, Frank.
Dallas checks the coast is clear and pulls a rolled up sheet of paper out from behind some water pipes.
I got these off this old trustee. He'd been plumbing in here for 20 years. Everybody thought he was a nut. Doesn't mean he wasn't smart.
He walks to a flat surface.
Come on, hurry up.
All right, cool.
They unroll the paper.
The tunnels under every cell block, okay, right here. They lead to the steam plant, okay? I go out across the steam lines. Dig this. I shimmy, okay? Across the steam pipes to the sally port, okay? Over there, there's trucks coming and going. I wait for my time.
He mimes dropping.
I'm on a truck that's leaving. I'm dearly departing Dallas, man. Huh?
Frank nods thoughtfully.
I'm not keeping you awake, am I, man? Come on, you're the doctor. Operate. I want your professional opinion.
All right, let's run it backwards. Since I've been here, I see these trucks, they stop running about 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, most of the tower guards are awake, and they're running full staff. And at 9 o'clock, all the inmates are awake. So before you go 10 feet, every con in the joint's gonna know you're gone. And this thing about, what would you say, this shimmy? Is that what you said?
Shimmy slide.
You think you're gonna shimmy slide across 200 yards of steam pipe running full out at 160 degrees and get away with it? You try it, they're gonna change your name from Departing Dallas to Deep Fried Dallas.
Dallas stares at Frank and blinks. He screws up the paper.
Oh. Just a thought, man, you know? Forget
it. Counts.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I got a plane to catch, okay, Frank? Thanks a lot.
Hey, Dallas. You got a cigarette?
Dallas checks his pockets.
It's my last one, man. Here. Go ahead, finish that. I know it ain't much, but it's the thought that counts, right?
Dallas gives Frank his half-smoked cigarette, then turns and walks away, looking cheerful, but a little disappointed. Frank puts the cigarette in his mouth and looks down a narrow circular shaft to his right. He drops the cigarette down the shaft. It falls about 20 feet and lands in some dark, grimy water below. Inmates are gathered in the prison canteen. Dallas and Frank hold trays and stand in line at the serving area.
Looks like some delicious garbage stew, just like Mom used to make. That's why I shot her.
Stew is spooned onto Dallas's tray.
Have some gravy, please.
Gravy?
You want some gravy?
Yeah. Here's your gravy.
Come on, you got it all over my
Move
phone,
it.
Man. What's your problem, man?
Nothing.
Move it.
What's that kid's story?
In for murder. Says it's a bad rap. Claims you're just in the wrong place for a long time. Waiting in the car while his buddy went in for a six-pack. Didn't know the guy was packing heat. Boom, boom, boom. Two guys dead. Kid's doing the big bitch now. Double life. Make parole when he's about 400.
Move it! What are you, a slow study or what?
Frank and Dallas walk through the canteen with their trays of food.
Well, Frank, man, I didn't get a chance to make a reservation, you know? So why don't we get a seat over there?
An inmate comes to the young prisoner.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm taking this. You got a problem with that?
Well, why don't you go take something else?
Open your mouth, Marjorie. You're right from the stage.
What are you starting to for?
I don't know. You want some cake? Are you chopping off on me?
I'm not hungry. You want this?
Who are you?
Nobody. Here.
He takes Frank's cake.
I'm on a diet. This spot taking?
Why don't you stand up for that fat dirtbag? Hey, shut up, punk. He just saved you a lot of healing, okay?
What's your name?
What's the difference? Why does anybody need a name in a joint like this?
Helps when you get mail.
Oh, yeah? I need a name? They call me Killer. Killer? That's original. You think that up yourself or someone give you a hand with it? Yeah, I call myself what I want, okay? Okay.
Killer, this is Dallas. I'm Frank. Dallas, what do you think this is here?
Well,
give me an idea.
These might be peas. Then again, they might not. They might be toxic waste. Who cares? It's all crap anyway.
Get your vegetables, man. You grow up and be big and strong.
Hey, man, stick your vegetables. Nobody asked you.
Frank notices Weber glance behind him as a mustachioed inmate strides purposefully down the aisle.
Put your leg in the aisle.
What?
Put your leg in the aisle. Be ready to move.
Hey, nobody tells me to do nothing, all right?
The mustachioed man walks past a bearded inmate, slashes him in the back and carries on walking. The bearded man stands in agony and a guard hits the alarm. Prisoners stand up and watch as guards come to the assistance of the wounded man. The young prisoner watches in shock. He's about 20 years old and slightly built with thick, dark hair. Dallas turns back to Frank, who stares at the impassive Weber, then turns confidentially to the young prisoner.
You always gotta be ready to move first. You just might make it to first base in this place.
Frank raises his eyebrows.
First base. There's a name for him, huh?
First base's tough attitude has vanished, and he looks meekly over at the scene of the incident. Frank and first base stroll through the wet exercise yard.
Man, it's good to be outside.
It's cold outside.
Nah, it's not that bad. Listen, it's good to keep moving.
How come you always got like this up attitude, man? How could you keep an up attitude in a joint like this?
The mindset, kid. Your body has to be in here what your brain doesn't, right? As long as you keep moving, you don't become a piece of this place.
What's that, like guru stuff?
Yeah, it's guru stuff.
Maybe I should become a guru.
You getting sarcastic?
Hey.
The bird lover sits on the bench, birds. Miserably throwing lumps of bread onto the ground.
Fuck them birds don't eat in the rain.
Yeah, well, they'll come back.
Hey, you'll save your bread for me tomorrow.
Yeah, sure. Put that on your list, okay?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Why are you talking crazy, man? It's a waste of time.
You know, to you it's a waste of time. To him it's all he's got. That's more than you got. And in here you gotta respect something. If you don't get much, and what you got to protect. You know that. You don't know nothing yet. Come on, let's run.
Frank breaks into a jog. Weber and his cronies are involved in a rough game of American football further up the yard.
Ah, Frank.
Bitch.
You're going to get wet. You said you might laundry, but...
Weber spots Frank in first base and stares intently. The football suddenly hits Frank on the shoulder. Frank turns to see Weber watching him.
Feel something, Leone?
Frank glances around uncertainly.
Want to play? They're a man short.
Frank looks around at the muddied inmates on the pitch, who stare back at him. First base shifts and looks at Frank, who walks away.
Hey! I'm talking to you!
First base follows Frank.
Hey, punk! When you gonna paint your nails and answer the name bitch?
First base stops.
You know, you got a big mouth. Why don't you keep it shut?
What, you little motherfucker? I'll tear your goddamn ass off. I'll fucking tear your ass.
Hey, you want to play? We'll play. You talk too much. Hey, let's play.
Goddamn right, we'll play. You and I'll play later, you little fuck.
Weber blows aggressive kisses to first base. The ball's thrown into play and Frank barges past Weber to catch it. Several inmates throw themselves at Frank and bring him to the ground. He tries to stand and Weber kicks him.
You want more, Leone? We got more for you. Come on, come on.
Drumgold watches as Weber fells Frank.
Stand up!
Man, that's a cheap shot!
First base shouts from the touchline as Drumgold watches through binoculars from his window.
What kind of game is this? This ain't no game, man. This is a lesson.
Frank crouches down in readiness as the ball is thrown to one of his players. The player passes to Frank, who barges and weaves through the opposition. Frank's brought down just as he reaches the touchline. Weber elbows him back over. Frank gets to his feet and he and Weber stand face to face.
Got something to say?
Yeah.
Say it!
First down!
Fuck you, that's your last one! You're dead, Leone!
Frank walks off.
You'll never last the fucking game!
The inmates crouch in the thick, sodden mud and the ball is passed back into the pack of players. Weber charges forward as the teams tackle each other. The ball is passed to Frank, who fumbles it and is knocked off his feet by Weber. Frank is brought down time and again as Drumgold comes out onto the wall to watch.
Come on, man, get in there!
The teams face each other. One of Frank's men punches one of Weber's team in the face. The teams spring forward at each other as Frank runs across the edge of the pitch and is brought down by Weber and another man. First base looks concerned and runs his hand through his hair, while Captain Meissner strolls through the spectators. Frank gets to his feet and the game recommences, with Weber and his men gunning for Frank and brutally slamming him to the ground at every opportunity. Drumgold leans on a railing and watches closely as the teams square off and charge each other. Frank slams the ball down angrily.
Frank!
Frank looks up at Drumgold on the wall.
Get him!
The game kicks off again and Frank is slammed into a puddle. Weber looks up at a burly black inmate on Frank's team. The inmate gives Weber a nod, while in the crowd, Eclipse looks on anxiously. Play begins again and Frank receives the ball. The black inmate barges Frank, knocking him off his feet. Eclipse wades through the crowd and onto the pitch.
Fuck up! Get over on that other team! That's who you're playing for anyway!
Eclipse pushes the inmate into a puddle and walks over to Frank, while the spectators laugh and cheer.
She's still on.
Looks like you need the help, and I need the exercise, so call a play.
Drumgold looks on grimly.
You're dead, Leone!
The two teams charge at each other. Eclipse barges his way through the left side of the pitch, while Frank, with the ball, bobs and weaves his way along the right. Eclipse decks one of Weber's men.
F-train, son. F-train.
Eclipse kicks the man back down as Frank receives the ball and tries to make a run along the left before he's brought down. Eclipse grabs Frank's collar.
Don't lay down on me now. Come on!
Frank gets to his feet and wearily trudges across the pitch.
Come on, Leone! Come on, you son of a bitch!
All right, I'm going over tackle on two.
All right, Frank! Ready!
Frank's team dig their feet into the mud.
Six! You're dead!
The two teams crouch down in lines a couple of feet from each other. The ball is passed back to Frank, who charges across the pitch, sidestepping the opposition. Frank pushes his arm out and holds Weber's men at bay as he races towards the touchline. He passes the ball as Weber clatters him over. Eclipse receives the ball and stumbles towards the line, barging over one of Weber's men before scoring a touchdown. The crowd leap into the air in jubilation as Eclipse holds the ball over his head. Frank staggers to his feet as Eclipse waves the ball to the right, then the left, before throwing it down. Frank applauds. Weber charges at Frank like a bull. Eclipse looks horrified and Braden blows his whistle. Weber knocks Frank off his feet and Officer Wiley holds Dallas back as Weber grabs Frank's neck chain.
Next time I watch, I kill you.
Frank is still dazed as Weber yanks the chain off his neck. Meissner watches as Drumgoole glances at his watch and strides back across the wall to his office.
Move it! Out! Game is over! Let's go! You don't listen, do you?
Eclipse tries to pull Frank to his feet as Manley stands over them.
Come on, Frank. Put him down! You ain't no doctor.
He's on his own. Get inside.
Manley pushes Eclipse away and looks down at Frank with a cold smile.
You're badass, huh?
Frank kneels painfully.
Stay inside, Leone.
Manley strides off as Frank slowly gets his breath back and totters to his feet. Frank holds his side and slowly limps off the pitch. Inmates file back towards the prison building past Captain Meissner. Meissner has a hard, squared-off face and wears wire-rimmed glasses. He watches Frank, who staggers about 30 yards behind the rest of the prisoners. That night, the prison corridor is dark and deserted as a hand slides between the bars of a cell door. Frank lies asleep on his bunk as the hand taps the ring on its ring finger against the bar. Frank's eyes flicker open and he turns with a start. Drumgoole gazes down at him through the bars. Frank stares back.
You won't break me.
His eyes fixed coldly on Frank, Drumgoole steps back from the cell door. Next morning, rain hammers down on the grim, forbidding prison building. While inside, inmates stroll along the corridor or lean against the wall, chatting. Eclipse comes to the door of his cell and grips the bars as he looks across the corridor to Frank's cell.
Still interested in the job?
Frank looks across to him and considers.
Yeah, yeah.
Eclipse grins, then turns and walks away from his door. Frank smiles to himself. Out in the prison grounds, a group of inmates stroll past Eclipse's workshop. Inside, Frank lies on the ground and works on the underside of a bus. Eclipse looks impressed.
You sure know your way around an engine. Who taught you?
This old man. Old Delaney. Took me off the street when I was 14 years old. Told me I could do something besides hanging out on corners all the time. Where's everybody?
It's quitting time. We got the place all to ourselves. Is that who you broke out for?
Yeah, I owed him.
Tell me, what put you in the joint in the first place?
Well, one night, these punks broke into the garage and put a beating on old man Galletti. And the whole neighborhood knew about it. Cops knew about it. But I guess these punks were connected, so the cops didn't do anything. And I did. So after all the smoke had cleared,
These guys ended up in the hospital, and I ended up doing 18 months in Treadmore for aggravated assault.
Care to join me in a little country band?
Why not?
Eclipse takes some cigars from a paint can.
I can see why they call you Eclipse. What are you, about 6'7"?
Yeah, I do block a lot of sun, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
I had a guy on the outside who used to get me good Havanas.
Uh-huh.
Not this crap. But someday. Someday.
Yeah, someday.
Eclipse lights them.
It's not bad.
At least they're cheap.
The two men smoke. Frank turns and points behind them.
Eclipse, what do you got hiding back there?
Eclipse turns and smiles.
That's my baby.
They pull a tarpaulin off the prime shell of a car.
Good body work.
Call this here vehicle Maybelline.
Hello, Maybelline.
Yeah, this is my baby.
Nice.
Eclipse runs his hand along the wing and lifts the bonnet.
Oh, there it is, 65 Ford Mustang V8. 289 with 225 horsepower. When's the last time you turned this thing over?
She's been dead for 15 years. Mm-hmm. A couple of guys tried to get her going and couldn't. Well, I'm a body man myself.
Mind if I give it a try?
It's a dead issue, Frank.
Frank smiles.
Nothing's dead around here until it's buried, is it?
He slams the bonnet and slaps Eclipse's hand.
Save the headstone, baby. Save the headstone.
A chain has been looped around the engine, and Frank winches it out of the car's body. He turns the front of the engine to face him and takes a screwdriver from between his teeth. Frank digs the screwdriver into the engine, twists it, and puts it back between his teeth. He then pulls a handful of leads off the engine and throws them over his shoulder. First base strolls into the workshop and picks up the bundle of discarded leads. Eclipse beams happily as they set about dismantling the engine, and Frank studies a manual by the light of a handheld lamp. First base crouches down and undoes one of the back wheels. Frank glances at him, then takes hold of a water line and squirts it over first base. First base jumps up in shock. He turns to find Frank busily working and confronts him. Frank smiles and looks up. A portly middle-aged guard argues with Dallas. Dallas offers him a cigar. The guard shrugs and puts it in his pocket, then continues arguing. Dallas offers him another. First base looks at the car, then turns as Frank squirts him again. First base grabs the waterline, and Frank runs off. Frank and the bird lover stand at a work table as Dallas unwraps a bright, shiny engine component. Frank smiles and examines it by lamplight. He and Dallas touch fists. Frank works on a section of bodywork with a handheld grinder. Blue paint is sprayed on the engine and the reconditioned parts are reconnected. Frank shows first base how to best use the grinder, and they finish assembling the overhauled engine. Frank, first base, Dallas and Eclipse wear face masks and set about spray painting the car bright red. First base points to a section on the wing and Frank turns. First base sprays Frank's back and tries to make a run for it. Eclipse catches first base and Frank advances on him. First base ducks and Frank sprays Eclipse in the chest. Eclipse touches the stain on his white t-shirt and grabs first base as Frank sprays his backside. They all attack each other with the spray guns. Frank, Dallas, first base, Eclipse, the bird lover and a couple of other inmates stand around the car as the engine is carefully lowered back into the body.
Nothing's dead till it's buried. Did I tell you that?
Yeah!
Frank and Eclipse grasp hands. Later, the men stand together holding drinks in tin cans and other receptacles.
A toast. Let's put a poem, all right? From the top.
What poem?
Hey, the poem.
It's a jailhouse poem, all right, man? Something we all wrote.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
They raise their vessels.
When we're in a sober mood, we worry, work, and think. When we're in a drunken mood, we gamble, play, and drink. But when our moods are over, when our time has come to pass, we hope they bury us upside down so the warden can kiss our ass.
I like that.
You like that, huh?
I thought I got you.
They drink and Frank gags.
Mercy!
This is the best. I mean, this is good, man.
What's wrong, man?
I wouldn't smoke around this. But it tastes as good as any dollar wine I've ever had.
Check, please.
Frank and first base sit drunkenly in the car.
No, I said come to Africa.
You married and thinking about it, what? You don't want to talk about it?
Are you proposing to me? You're not my type. No, I'm not married. No.
Man, you plan on getting married when you get out of here?
Oh, yeah, that's the plan. Yeah.
You know, I had this really nice girl.
Yeah?
She was nice. And we were in love. And we started talking about, you know, getting married. And
yeah.
She's got three brothers, like about 1% retarded, these guys. And they throw beating on me.
Some guys don't appreciate romance.
Yeah.
Don't take it personally.
She wrote me for a while. Then it just stopped. And that's when it hit me, Frank. I ain't ever gonna be with a girl again or even see a real one. I'm gonna end up like Eclipse kissing pictures in magazines, man. You know, so many things I ain't never done. I ain't never learned how to drive a car, Frank.
What?
I ain't never learned how to drive a car.
First base sits in the driver's seat while Frank pushes the car.
I hope we don't get a speeding ticket. I hate to end up in jail.
It won't be a wise guy. You want to learn to drive or not? This is the best I can do.
Okay. Now cut it sharp. That's it. All right, look. Why don't you hang a left on 42nd Street, and then we'll go on down to Broadway and check out the action, okay?
What Broadway? We're doing circles in a garage.
Oh, come on, Ferris. Work here with you, okay? You want to stay here? Now you want to go down to Broadway and check out the action?
I want to check out the action, of course.
Okay.
All right.
Then turn left at 42nd Street.
Okay, I got it.
First base grins.
Place is jumping.
Woo!
Look at the action here.
Check out those fine-looking ladies. Yo, honey, want to come for a ride in my new car?
Hey, baby!
Hey, Frank, they ain't responding.
Don't worry about it. They're not your type. When's the last time you were in Atlantic City?
Oh, man, I ain't never been there.
No?
Nah.
Well, you're there now. What do you think?
I don't know. Do I like it? What does it resemble?
It's the best. Look around. Maybe the lights. The boardwalk is jumping day and night. It's hot music. You got these high rollers. You got parties.
Yeah.
You got money.
Yeah.
You got gambling.
Woo!
You got 10,000 cars, girls.
Oh. Hey, baby, want to come for a ride in my new vehicle?
Woo!
Oh, man. Yo, that was great.
Oh, this Italian engine just blew a ride. You're ready for Indianapolis, kid.
Oh.
You got the touch.
Frank, let me ask you one favor, man. I appreciate the drive and everything, you know, but none of this is real unless I could hear this engine kick over just once.
First, you know, if I turn the engine on, what's going to happen? These guys are going to bust it in here. They're going to grab up every one of us. They're going to throw us in the hole forever. Forget it.
Oh, come on, Frank, just for 10 seconds, it'll last for the rest of my life.
Oh, you're such a pain in the ass.
Come on, Frank. Let me just hear that engine. We built it, man.
Frank leans on the car window and considers.
All right, go on. 10 seconds.
Yeah!
All right, looking good.
Dallas and Eclipse wake up.
Isn't that great, huh?
It's beautiful, baby.
Hit it one time. All right, one more time.
That is funny.
Okay, turn it off. You got it, you did it. Turn it off.
First base looks at him.
Hey, kill it, Frank, come on, man.
Come on, first, turn it off.
Frank, if I turn it off, I ain't never gonna turn it on again, right, Frank?
That's right.
Please, turn it off first.
First! Sorry, Frank.
First base slaps the car into gear and skids around the workshop. First base smashes the Mustang out through the workshop's large wooden doors. He roars between a couple of prison buildings and swings the car onto the exercise yard. Inmates leap out of the way as the Mustang slews around on the muddy football pitch and a guard grabs his rifle.
First! Turn it on, you crazy bastard!
First base laughs and the guard comes out onto the wall with a loud hailer.
All right, stop that car now! I repeat, stop that car now!
He takes aim. The guard fires, hitting the car. First base drives in a panic as Meissner comes onto the pitch with a walkie-talkie.
This is Meissner. Stop firing.
But sir, the warden said...
God damn it, I said stop firing!
The guard gestures his colleague to stop.
Turn it off! Hold it, hold it!
Frank runs in front of the car and first base stops.
Come on!
Frank drags him out.
son, are you crazy?
He's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I can drive, Shh. Frank. Drive, Frank.
All right. Got one crazy son, bitch, you know that?
Yeah!
Away from your car!
Move! Frank, you're up against the car.
Or just bought yourself a trip to the home.
Don't think Frank alone!
Shut up!
Shut up, Frank, man! Let's go! Bring it on!
Let's go!
Let him go! You're the wrong man.
Take Leone to the hole.
Back off.
6 weeks.
It's not his fault, sir! It was mine!
Save it.
Get off me!
Drumgoole turns to Meissner.
Captain! I want 5 inmates. Give me a bat. I want to break up this car. Hold it right there now!
The guards hold Frank.
I want you to watch this, Leone.
He throws the baseball bat to Weber. Meissner turns to the agitated crowd behind him as a guard gives baseball bats to Weber's cronies. They step towards the Mustang and Weber swings his bat into the windscreen. They smash out the headlamps, windows and wing mirror. Guards hold the horrified first base and Drumgoole smiles at Frank as the car is demolished. Drumgoole turns back to the car with a smug expression as Weber lifts the bonnet. Eclipse mouths shit as Weber smashes up the engine with his bat. Eclipse blinks and a tear rolls down his cheek. Weber pulls the running horse emblem from the front grille of the Mustang and holds it up as Drumgoole smiles and looks at Frank. Weber's gang smash out the car's windows. Meissner sighs heavily and purses his lips.
Back the honeymoon suite!
Manley and Wiley shove Frank down a gloomy corridor and throw him into a dank, bare room. Another guard closes a barred door, then slides a metal door across. Melissa's at the reception desk.
You should have been notified so you wouldn't have to drop
Why is he in isolation?
I don't have that information.
Oh, you don't have that information? Then I want to see the goddamn warden.
Not today.
Every hour when the light comes on, you'll stand, face the camera, and state your name and number. Name and number.
Leone 510.
Face the camera. Name and number.
Frank turns to the blinding light.
Leone 510.
A camera lens is next to the light. Frank paces the few feet from wall to wall of the gloomy hole. He does press-ups.
Number.
Frank gets to his feet and faces the lens.
Leone 510.
No, 510.
Drumgoole watches in the control booth.
Name and number.
Wearing only his boxer shorts, Frank does more press-ups, then sits hunched in a corner.
Leone 510.
The light goes out. The monitor in the control booth shows Frank standing on his head.
And your feet. Name and number.
Drumgoole flicks a switch.
Give Mr. Leone half ration for the rest of his time.
Yes, sir.
Name and number.
Manley stands in the control booth sorting through a handful of letters. One of them's for Frank and he tosses it to one side.
Get up!
He seems a little sluggish. Wake him up.
Manley leads the way as two guards drag Frank down a corridor and through a door. Manley pushes Frank into a shower. Manley hits Frank around the head. In the exercise yard, rain beats down onto the wreck of the Mustang, while in the hole, water drips through a grating as Frank sits hunched in the corner.
What
you want to see?
I
can see you in white.
Some
yeah. sweet. You see me on a golf course, man? Huh? You got a little cruel streak in you.
Frank flinches.
Leone 510.
Upright, name and number.
Leone 510.
Frank looks weak and bleary-eyed as the light goes out. He remembers his last day with Melissa in the park.
You'll be praying for some time when you're on, you know that? You know that?
I don't
figure that. Trust me, I know about these things.
Leone, 510. Water.
In the control booth, Braden notices Officer Wiley throw Frank's mail into a drawer. Wiley closes the drawer and moves away.
Leone, 510.
Frank shields his eyes.
Name and number. Name and number.
Fowler, my role, 37, Sergeant.
Drungle watches on a monitor as Frank sways unsteadily. Manly, Wiley, Braden, and another officer stride down the gloomy corridor towards the hole.
Frank 121!
Manly opens the metal door and the barred door, and he and Wiley rush inside. The other officer stands guard at the door, and Braden remains in the corridor. He looks horrified as Wiley restrains Frank, while Manly beats him with his baton. Meissner strides down the corridor and looks into the hole.
Enough.
Wiley and Manly stop and look breathlessly at Meissner, who nods for them to come out. The other guard stares at Braden and heads down the corridor. Wiley steps up close to Meissner before walking away, and Manly comes out of the hole and locks the doors behind him.
Who ordered this?
The warden.
Does the warden hate him enough to kill him? Because that ain't my job.
Mr. Sensitive. He's upset. He thinks we're treating Leonie too rough. You forget which of the cops and which of the cons? Whose side are you on?
You want me? Come on!
Braden lunges at Manly and Meissner pulls him away, while Wiley restrains Manly.
Your stick, Mr. Braden.
Braden bends down, picks up his baton and walks away. Manly sneers at him.
Pussy. And you get the hell out of my sight! Before I shine my boots with your face, you fat piece of shit! Go on!
Manly stares coldly at Meissner, then turns away and follows Wiley down the corridor. Meissner opens the hall door and Frank shuffles into a corner.
Time's up.
Meissner throws Frank a boiler suit and walks out, leaving him hunched up against the walls. Inmates stand on an upper landing and watch as Frank, unshaven and with dark, sunken eyes, strolls past them with Officer Braden behind him. Captain Meissner stands by Frank's cell and stops him at the door.
Remember what I told you, Frank. Roll with the system. Roll with it or it's only going to get harder.
Frank chuckles wearily.
Yeah, but it's getting shorter too.
Meissner steps away from the door and Braden unlocks it. Frank laughs to himself as Braden opens the cell door and ushers him inside. Frank looks around his cramped, shabby cell as Braden turns Frank to face him and undoes his handcuffs.
So what's new, Mr. Braden? How's the family? Good?
Braden moves to the door.
How the jets doing?
Braden glances back.
Don't forget to check your bed.
Frank glances down at his bunk as Braden strolls out of the cell. He closes the door and locks it behind him. Frank steps over to his bunk and feels the blanket. He lifts his pillow, then yanks it away as he finds a small stack of letters, all in the same handwriting and addressed to him. Frank sits on his bunk and stuffs most of the letters into his boiler suit. Frank rips open one of the envelopes, quickly unfolds the letter and reads hungrily. He shakes the letter joyfully, then holds his head down against it. He folds the letter up and thrusts it into his boiler suit with the others. An inmate leans on the wall outside the workshop. Frank saunters into the workshop to find the smashed Mustang. Dallas and First Base stand around looking glum.
Hey, Frank.
Frank strolls over.
Somebody die in here?
Ain't a very good welcome home, is it?
Frank takes a piece of taillight from the rear of the Mustang and puts it on the car's boot. The bird lover leans on the roof of the vehicle, while Eclipse has the bonnet up and studies the engine. Frank walks over to him.
Hey, big man. Sand. The whole engine block is full of it. It was chink.
What are we gonna do about it?
Forget it.
Forget it? We poured everything we got into this car. No way we could let chink slide.
Let it go, First Base.
Let it go? Aren't you the guy who says you gotta protect what's yours? Watch each other's back, you watch mine, I watch yours. I guess that was nothing but a bunch of jive, huh, Frank, now that you're a short-timer.
You're incredible. What? You think this is your car? This ain't your car. This is the warden's car. What do you think? Did you think the chick Weber did this? Drumgold did this. Come on. What? You think when we got this car together that we were going to take our dates out in it? Is that what you thought? Maybe rotate it on weekends? Hey, Ernie, why don't you take it Friday? And Dallas, why don't you take it Saturday? And Eclipse, you got it Sunday. Is that what you thought? Huh? It's his. His lift is his. His tools are his. The garage is his. His whole goddamn place is his. And you better remember that, too. Because once you start buying into this our car, our thing concept, man, you're his, too.
First base's arms are tightly folded and he purses his lips. Dallas leans on a work table and gazes at Frank, who looks round at them all, then gathers himself.
Just let it go.
He walks towards the door.
Where are you going? I thought you were our leader.
God damn it, I'm not your leader! And this ain't a gang! When you look around, we're convicts. We're prisoners, we're inmates. We're here, and as long as we're here, we're gonna stay his. We're his. Nothing's ever gonna change that. You gotta face the facts. Now, you guys are stand up, no doubt about it. But I got 3 weeks to get out of here. And in 3 weeks, I'm walking. Ain't nothing gonna change that. That's all I care about.
With his head bowed, Frank slowly walks to the door and lets himself out. Dallas takes a drag of his cigarette and strolls over to Eclipse.
It's nothing for nothing, man. He's right.
First base hangs his shoulders dejectedly. In the prison canteen, Frank sits alone at a table and wearily rubs his eyes as Weber strolls over. Weber has the Mustang's emblem on the front of his belt.
Hey, Leone. How you letting belt buckle, boy? Yeah, I know. I like it, too. A little souvenir that reminds me of you. Tell me, what are you going to do about it?
First base watches from the lunch queue as Weber swaggers.
You mean 6 weeks in the hole? Killed your guts and your appetite?
He pulls away Frank's tray and leans close.
It ain't over, you son of a bitch.
Frank looks away as Weber stands and walks off, taking Frank's tray with him. Halfway down the aisle, Weber meets Dallas, first base, and Frank's other friends, and frosty looks are exchanged. The men stroll up to Frank's table.
Anybody call this spot?
Nah, you guys don't need a reservation.
Are you on a diet, Frank, huh, my man?
Cutting back a little bit.
Hey, Frank, take some mouth for me, buddy.
Yeah, man, here you go, Frank. Don't worry about it. Piece of bread, tomatoes, man. You'll be all right. Celery stick.
Yeah, playing football.
Hey, Frank, don't worry about that guy. What do you got to fight him for? He's a life. You only got a few weeks to go. Forget about it.
I think a miracle just happened. First base finally learned something.
Frank smiles at first base.
Okay, who's going to say Grace, huh?
Grace.
She was terrific, wasn't she?
Weber's in Drumgoole's office.
I thought I could rely on you, Weber.
You won't be pushed.
Because you're not pushing in the right place. Everyone has a weak spot, Weber. Find his. Or I'll have to find a new yard, boss.
Frank and some other inmates are in the boiler room.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Gateway Steak.
Come on, Dallas. I'm starting to feel like a steamed vegetable. Let's start.
All right, man. All right. Hey, Frank, what's your bug's name, man?
Dirt Creature.
32 on Dirt Creature. First base, what's your bug's name, man?
Rear entry.
4-5. Gentlemen, mm-hmm. Place your bets. 2 gets you 3, 5 will get you 4. 2 gets you 3, 5 will get you 4.
Dallas holds a box and the inmates throw cigarettes into it.
Everything I got on Dirt Creature.
5 will get you 4. Right. House.
Rear entry.
Window is closed. All bets are in. Gentlemen, start your insects.
Two cockroaches are trapped under a small plastic jar.
Boom! They're off!
The jar's lifted and the insects run along a metal trough. Frank and first base cajole them along with their fingers and first base flicks his over the line. Frank slaps first base's face.
We got a steward's inquiry.
You can't goose your butt across the line like that.
Come from behind victory by rear entry.
Manly and Wiley look down from the platform.
Hey! What are you guys doing down there?
Shit.
Frank covers the trough.
Pena, you're on the wrong detail. Get your ass up here. I want you to clean up the gym.
You got a rematch later, man, buddy.
Oh, yeah, sure, you can.
You're getting out of here, man. I'll fence her off. I'll pay up later. Now, asshole!
Hey, give me a break, man. I gotta get dressed over here, you know what I mean? Hey, watch out for my buck.
I'll take care of him for you, really. Delicious.
I'll do it today!
All right!
Frank pretends to eat the cockroach and first base laughs as he heads out of the boiler room. The prison gym is gloomy and deserted as Wiley unlocks the door and leads first base in by the arm. Manley comes in behind them and shoves a large piece of material into first base's hand.
Clean this place up.
It's already cleaned.
What are you, Duff? Shut your mouth and do it.
First base looks around the gym as Manley and Wiley turn and stride out. Wiley locks the door behind him and stares at first base through the wire-meshed glass before walking away. First base takes a few steps back, then turns and strolls towards a boxing ring, which is lit by a single arc lamp hung above the canvas. First base stands by the ring, takes a cigarette from his shirt pocket and lights it. Later, first base plays pool by himself. He walks around the table, then takes a drag of his cigarette before rearranging the balls. First base leans down to take a shot, then notices a tall inmate walking towards the table. First base looks up as the inmate stops and watches him. A light on the wall behind him means his face remains dark. First base stands and the inmate moves a little closer. First base makes a questioning gesture with his head, then turns to his left as two more burly inmates walk into the gym. An anxious look spreads across first base's face as more inmates come in and stare at him. Weber's cronies. First base backs cautiously away from the table, holding his cue poised. He looks around him as Weber's men begin to advance. First base suddenly turns and charges through a door in a wire mesh partition.
Come on, one by one, come on!
Weber appears and grabs first base in a neck hold as his cronies burst in. They grab first base's arms and legs.
Get it down.
They hold him down on a weight training bench beneath an extremely heavy-looking barbell. Weber strains and his men help him lift the weight off its stand.
I told you we'd play later, you little bitch.
Weber drops the weight on first base's chest. Frank's working in the boiler room as another inmate comes up to the wire partition.
Hey, Leone! They got first! I can't hear you!
Frank points to his ear and comes a little closer.
What's that? They got first base in the gym!
He comes closer still.
What is it? They got first base in the gym!
The smile falls from Frank's face and he stares at the inmate in shock. Frank strides along the partition, then bolts down the corridor. He bursts into the gym.
Frank!
Inmates stand and watch as Frank runs through the wire partition.
Let me help you!
First base lies dead on the bench with the barbell across his chest. Frank strains to lift the large weight off him. Frank looks down helplessly at first base's body. The young man's eyes are open and a line of blood trickles out from his mouth. Frank kicks the partition in frustration. He slides down to the floor.
20 years old. Kid's 20 years old. I told you. I know.
Frank rocks against the partition with a determined expression. He glances around and finds a circular metal weight from the barbell on the floor. He picks it up.
You want me? Got me.
He stands.
You want me? You fucking got me. You want me?
He wraps the weight in linen and storms out. Frank bursts out through a door and walks down the steps into the exercise yard, where other prisoners are milling around. Frank sees Weber laughing with his cronies further up the yard and sets his jaw. He strides through the other inmates and runs at Weber and his men, holding the barbell weight in the linen. Weber turns. He swipes a couple of Weber's men across the face and Weber barges him to the ground. Wiley goes to intervene. Manley stops Wiley while Drumgool looks down at the ruckus from his office window. Frank and Weber wrestle. Frank is on top of Weber and tries to throttle him, while Weber pushes his hand into Frank's face. Weber pulls the spike from his pocket, and Frank forces Weber's hand to the ground, before Weber rolls on top of Frank and tries to push the spike into his face. Frank's face contorts with exertion as he pushes against Weber's hands. The metal spike trembles as it slowly comes closer to Frank's face and touches his cheek. Frank suddenly springs up and bites Weber's fingers. The two men roll on the wet ground and one of the inmates kicks the spike away. Drumgul continues watching from his office as Weber throws Frank onto his back. He kicks Frank in the face and runs for the spike. Frank goes after him.
Son of a bitch! Kill you!
Frank brings Weber down with a rugby tackle and they wrestle in the snow. Frank gets on top of Weber and rains heavy blows into his face. Frank drags Weber off the ground and dumps him on a weights bench beneath another heavy barbell. Weber is unconscious and the prisoners bay for blood as Frank stands on the bench and strains to lift the large weight off its stand. Drumgul looks on with bated breath.
Do it.
Cut his face!
Frank turns to look at the clamouring inmates, then gazes down at the unconscious Weber. He puts the barbell back. Drumgul smiles to himself. Frank reaches down to Weber's throat and yanks off his necklace and gold ring. An inmate approaches Frank. The inmate shoves the spike deep into Frank's side and carries on walking. Frank falls to the ground in pain and bewilderment. The prisoners crowd around Frank as he rolls onto his back, holding his side. The ground outside the prison wall is white with snow and seagulls fly through the wintry sky. Frank lies asleep in the prison hospital as a guard unlocks the door to his ward. Dallas saunters in, pushing a laundry trolley.
Let it run! Come on, man, get a move on. I'm trying to make a living here, you know what I'm saying? Hey, hey, hey! Frank! My man, Morris Nightingale. How you feeling?
All right.
Yeah? 3 weeks you're out of this joint, man.
Feels like 3 years.
Oh, come on, man. 3 weeks is a blink.
Dallas throws washing into the trolley.
What'd they do with the kid?
He stops and hesitates, then turns to Frank.
They sent him home, man. What do you think?
He wheels the trolley close to Frank's bed.
a kid told me once, your body has to be in prison, but your mind can be wherever it wants.
Did he tell you that?
Yeah. So listen, Frank, man, I brought you some toilet paper, man, in case, you know, you want to write some poetry or something, you know. hey, Colonel Clink! Get me out of here, man.
The guard unlocks the barred ward door and Dallas wheels the trolley towards it. He looks at Frank.
Hey, Frank, man, it wasn't your fault, okay? Remember that.
Dallas leaves. Frank watches him go, then turns away solemnly.
Roberta, have Miss Lowell photograph for an ID for visitation. I'm reinstating Mr. Leone's privileges.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure Frank's all right.
Oh, he's fine. He's recovering nicely. And in 3 weeks, he'll be out of here, and you can look forward to a happy life together. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Warden.
Drumgul shakes Melissa's hand and goes back into his office. Later, Melissa is having a photograph taken.
Okay, look into the light.
Manly and Wiley unlock the ward door. They hold it open for Melissa and follow her in. Frank sits up in bed.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Frank pulls her close and they kiss.
I'm so worried about you.
You look great.
30-minute visit, Leone. Compliments of the ward. Don't waste it.
How do you feel?
Oh, I feel pretty good. Thanks, sweetheart.
30 minutes. Need any help? Just give us a call, huh?
The guards have put screens up by the bed. They smile lasciviously and leave.
They all like that?
Don't worry about it. They're great.
You're like that.
Don't tell me what I look like. I can't stand.
Melissa sits on the bed and rubs Frank's bare shoulder. They kiss. They kiss again and Melissa looks at him.
No more separations. Promise?
They kiss warmly and Frank holds Melissa tightly. He takes hold of the neck of her cardigan and pulls it down off her shoulder, then slides his hand down onto her hip. Manly suddenly pulls the screen back.
Time's up.
Nice view.
What the hell's the matter with you?
You heard. Time's up.
The warden said half an hour.
Yeah, well, the warden changed his mind.
What do you mean he changed his mind? I want to talk to the warden.
Lady, what you want to do is keep your mouth shut, fix your clothes, and get out. Come on.
Don't touch her.
What did you say? Don't touch her? You don't learn, do
hey,
you,
hey,
pal?
Hey, I'm leaving.
Melissa stands and keeps Wiley and Frank apart. Frank adjusts her cardigan and they kiss.
3 weeks.
Wiley ushers Melissa out. He moves the screen, then turns and blows a kiss to Frank. Frank watches them go and looks away in frustration. He lies down on his front. That night, Frank, wearing a blue T-shirt and light trousers, sits on his bunk as an inmate in a wheelchair, wheels himself down the corridor to the barred ward door. He's in his 30s, with long hair tied back in a ponytail and a couple of days' stubble on his chin. Frank turns. Frank stands and walks across the gloomy ward towards the barred partition.
I know you.
No, you don't know me, Frank, but I know you. I was at Tremor with you.
Frank looks at him suspiciously.
A Black.
The man smiles.
Tremor don't have an A Black.
That's right.
We got something else in common.
Yeah, what's that?
We're both getting out soon. You in a few weeks. Me, I'm gone day after tomorrow.
Frank looks at the wheelchair.
What happened to you?
One beating too many. Served some hard time in this place. We both have, am I right?
Frank moves closer to the bars.
Yeah. You're right about that.
Hey, you need anything when I get out? Can I get you anything?
Frank sits on a bed.
No, I'm all right, thanks.
I'm just lucky, I guess. I got a job lined up when I get out. It's just temporary, you know, but it pays about $1,000 for 2 hours' work. That's not bad, is it?
What do you gotta do?
The man smiles and takes a photo of Melissa from his shirt pocket.
I just gotta rape this bitch. I get an extra $100 every time she screams.
I'll kill you with that! I'll kill you!
Payback time, Frank. She says hello.
You touch her, you're dead! Hey, man, guard!
The man stands and goes.
Manly! Guard!
What's your problem, Leone?
I gotta use the phone now.
You know your privileges, no phone.
Manly, please, that guy says it's an emergency, he's gonna kill my girlfriend.
What guy?
The guy was just here, you let him in, the guy in the wheelchair! I got a warner!
I see there's an empty wheelchair, what are you trying to pull, Leone?
Oh, don't play with me, Manly. Please, I gotta use the phone, I got a warner.
Everybody's got problems, Leone.
In the laundry.
Hey, Frank. You want some spring cleaning, huh, man?
Frank watches him in the mirror.
Dallas, come here.
Dallas glances at the partition, then wheels the trolley over to Frank and talks out of the corner of his mouth.
What is it, man?
I need some help. No questions asked.
Frank gives Dallas a sheet of paper.
Don't you bust it out, man. What the hell's going on? You got less than 3 weeks to go.
Just help me.
Man, this is what you need. It's going to take me a couple days, okay?
No, I need it tonight.
Tonight I can't do that, man. By the time I finish the night run, everything's going to be locked up.
Listen to me. There's a guard getting out of here tomorrow. Two whippers paid him off to get Melissa. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand, Frank. I'd love to help, but I can't do the impossible. You're hurting my arm, man.
Frank releases Dallas's arm, then turns back towards the mirror. He considers. Dallas closes his eyes in controlled elation.
No shit. What's the plan? You'll know when you gotta know.
Dallas looks at the paper.
Going through the tunnels, huh, man?
Dallas nods excitedly.
If you just be here, all right?
He nods.
Hey, convict, move it out of there. Let's go.
Use some bleach on that, Frank. That'll get those stains out.
I'm coming out of here, Colonel Clink.
That night, Dallas wheels the laundry trolley to the ward.
Linen run! Evening off your basket, Lieutenant.
You're late. Shit, man. Get it out. Come on.
Yes, sir. Hey,
quick.
I'll be real quick, sir.
Still making that jailhouse booze?
Absolutely not, sir. I'm on the wagon. I just joined Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what I'm saying?
All right, man. You got some line of shit, man.
It's just bad on my nervous system. Makes me talk too much, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I'll be right out, sir. Right out.
Frank's apparently asleep in bed as Officer Vasquez goes back to his desk. Frank suddenly jumps up and grabs Dallas.
You ready, Frank?
Frank throws Dallas down onto the bed and pretends to attack him. Vasquez comes back and Frank hits him.
Come on, Frank, let's go, man. Come on. Okay, come on, that's it.
Come on, Dallas.
They run out of the ward and Frank locks the door behind them.
Right. Yeah, all right, move it.
Sweet dreams, Moby Dick.
Frank, come on, come on, come on.
Cool, man.
Dallas gives Frank a linen bag as they race along the corridor and into a dingy side room. Frank pulls the footrest off a wheelchair and jumps onto a table. He uses the footrest to prise a metal grill off the wall, revealing a square hole into the prison's drainage system.
Got it.
Dallas climbs in and grabs some bars overhead.
Okay, here I go.
Come on, Dallas.
I'm jumping.
He swings down off the bars to the floor.
Oh, man, there's rats in here, Frank.
Frank climbs in and swings down after him. The two fugitives sprint along the waterlogged, steam-filled utility corridors. Frank pulls open an aperture in the wire mesh fence and they climb through.
All right. It's this way, man. It's a shortcut to the steam plant.
It's this way?
No, man, I remember the map. It's this way. I'm positive. Let's go!
Dallas sprints off down the corridor, Frank chasing after him. They pass a large spinning ventilation fan and run into the boiler room, along a metal walkway amongst a tangle of pipework. As soon as they're in, guards in riot gear close wire mesh doors, locking them in. A guard grabs Frank, choking him with his baton across the throat.
DTA, Frank.
Frank glares at Dallas.
Is that what you taught me, man? DTA.
Right on schedule, Frank.
I'm sorry, man. You were my ticket out of here. I'm sorry.
Damn you!
A guard hits Frank in the ribs with his baton.
You had me set up the whole time?
Not the whole time. I got 30 years to go, man. 30 years. Warden made me a deal.
Dumb bastard.
He made me a deal, man, a deal!
We don't make deals with escaping prisoners.
Stunned, Dallas stares up at Drumgool.
Oh, Warden, what? What the hell are you talking about, man? You said if I delivered...
Shut up. You're going back to the population.
Population? Oh, you can't do this to me, Warden. You can't do this to me, man. I snitched them off. They're going to kill me back there. I'm finished.
Stop.
All right, look, I came through. God damn it, we had a deal.
That's enough. I'm going to kill him.
The guards beat Dallas.
Shut up.
Dallas lies quivering on the walkway. Frank hangs his head.
This is an automatic 10 years, Frank. It's 10 years for a second escape attempt. I knew you'd cross the line. I told them 5 years ago you were a hardcore criminal, but they'll believe me now. And you better believe me. You better believe that you're going to be doing hard time here for the rest of your life.
Frank glares at Drumgool.
Manly, you know what to do.
Drumgool turns on his heel and leaves the room along with two of the guards. Manly callously kicks Dallas off the walkway into the water below.
Some deal maker.
Dallas floats awkwardly in the shallow water. Manly walks over to Frank, who's still held in a stranglehold by the other guard.
See? Shit does float, doesn't it? Hey, you know what else? You don't have to worry about that psycho hurting that pretty little blonde bitch girlfriend of yours. We decided to keep him in here. Didn't we, officer?
The other guard spins Frank around and he sees the supposed rapist in a guard's uniform. He holds up a photo of Melissa.
Not my type.
He screws up the photograph. Frank tries to run at him.
Yeah, we'll teach you a lesson. We'll graduate you with honors, pal.
Yeah, come on.
Turn on the steam, Mastrone. Turn on the fucking steam! Put him in!
The rapist opens faucets with spew scalding hot steam. Manly pushes Frank's face towards it.
Breathe in it! Come on!
Manly and the other guard force Frank's face towards the jets. The rapist watches from the other side.
Come on!
Frank resists for all he's worth, then suddenly dives to the steam. The guard holding him gets blasted in the face by the steam and lets go. Frank grabs the rapist.
Rape this.
He hits the rapist in the crotch.
My face! My face! My face! My face!
The other guard staggers about in the jets of steam. Frank runs to one of the doors and tries it. It won't open. As he turns around, Manly swings at him with his baton and riot shield, knocking Frank against the door. Frank retaliates with a volley of blows against the shield, forcing Manly back against the pipe. Frank gets his hands around Manly's throat and starts to choke him, but Manly reaches down to his belt and gets his pepper spray. He squirts Frank in the face. Frank lets go and Manly knocks him to the ground with his shield, which he then throws away. As Frank lies on the floor, Manly lines up to give him a huge kick.
Squirt out, punk.
As Manly pulls back his leg, Frank lunges at him, knocking him to the ground. He gets on top of Manly and hammers a series of blows across his face and chest, knocking him out. His face still streaming from the pepper spray, Frank runs across the boiler room to one of the doors and starts kicking at it. Manly comes round and picks up his baton. He launches himself at Frank, who dives at him, and the two struggle on the ground. Manly gets Frank in a headlock and pulls him to his feet. Frank repeatedly hammers his elbow into Manly's guts, forcing him to let go. Frank holds Manly over the walkway rail, pounds the back of his head with his elbow, then hurls him over the rail into the water. Frank collapses onto the floor and leans against the walkway rail.
Frank!
Frank sees Dallas in the water.
Frank, don't leave me here, man.
Frank holds his side and gasps for breath. Dallas clings miserably to the side of the walkway. He lets go and holds his hand out to Frank.
I'm sorry.
Frank shakes his head.
Take me with you.
Frank reaches out towards Dallas, but Manly jumps up from the water and grabs Frank by the scruff of the neck. He whips a length of chain around Frank's throat and begins to strangle him. Dallas pulls himself along beside the walkway and grabs hold of the heavy-duty electric cable. He wrenches it free and holds the sparking end above the water.
Go, Manly! Let him go!
Afraid, Manly lets Frank go. Standing waist-deep in the water, he holds his hands up and nervously turns to face Dallas.
What are you gonna do with that?
You okay, Frank?
I'm okay, Dallas.
You can trust me, Frank. You can trust me.
Put it down, Dallas.
God, put it down.
I won't hurt you anymore.
Put it down.
Oh, yeah?
You don't want to do it.
You fat piece of shit.
Don't do it, Dallas. What are you trying to scare me?
Dallas, no.
Manly smiles at Dallas.
I'll do it.
Oh, yeah?
You don't got the balls to do it, punk.
Dallas.
You're wrong.
Stoolie.
You're wrong.
Dallas.
Put it down.
Dallas, no.
You're wrong.
Dallas. Dallas plunges the live cable into the water, electrocuting both himself and Manly. Frank lies on the walkway and covers his face as showers of sparks fly from the boiler room circuitry and the electrical riser box explodes. In the warden's office, Braden turns to Drumgool.
Switch tobacco.
Excuse me, sir.
We got a power outage in Sea Wing.
Get some men down to that utility corridor.
Guards load shotguns, pull down the visors on their riot helmets, and clip magazines into M16 rifles. Frank escapes from the boiler room by climbing up the pipework. The heavily armed guards rush through the prison, heading in Frank's general direction. As Frank scales the pipework rising through the prison, he grabs hold of a scalding hot pipe.
Ah!
Meissner and Drumgool.
You better have a real good reason for not telling me you knew Leonie was going out. I've got a dead officer and a dead inmate out there. And I don't have any fucking answers, do you?
I was trying to save an informant's life by keeping an operation secret.
Now why the hell would a man who's got less than 3 weeks to go try to break out and kill two men? Why?
We can ask him when we catch him.
Guards in patrol cars and others with dogs congregate on the far bank of the river outside the prison. Frank continues his ascent. He grabs hold of an electrical cable and it breaks. In the warden's office.
Busted cable. Utility corridor. He's going to the roof.
Frank throws open a hatch and makes it out onto the roof of the prison. Guards switch on searchlights and pan the beams across the rooftops looking for him. Frank looks down and sees more guards walking across the exercise yard down below. One officer struggles to hold a barking pit bull on its leash. Frank edges around the perimeter of the prison's main domed roof, just ahead of a searchlight tracking behind him. He looks across to a huge chimney stack nearby, judging the distance. He steps back, runs, and launches himself at the stack, grabbing hold of a metal ladder running up its side. When he gets to the top of the stack, he climbs down a ladder running inside it. He disappears from view just as a guard sweeps a searchlight over the top of the stack. Frank gets to the bottom of the stack and opens some doors into a utility room. Guards march along a walkway nearby. Frank gets an iron bar and uses it to pry a padlock off a hatch. He opens the hatch, then hearing the approaching guards, glances over his shoulder. He reaches up, gets hold of an electric light, and shines it down the hatch. He sees water below. He stands up and takes off his jacket. In his office, Drumgul checks his security monitors and speaks on the phone.
I got zone 2. Can't you get any more light in there?
Captain Meisner.
Meisner.
This is Osner. I'm in the well room right now. Looks like this is where he went out.
Guards are dredging the river outside the prison with a grappling iron, trying to find Frank's body. On the far bank, Braden talks to Captain Meisner.
Sir, that has got to be at least 200 yards underwater. Do you really think he made it?
Well, maybe not, Mr. Braden. But until you bring me a body, I've got an escape prison.
This is Drumgul. I want Sector 4.
Meisner, Sector 4, go.
Yeah, Mr. Meisner.
Right now, nothing, sir. In fact, I'm thinking of calling in the local and state police to coordinate with my men.
No. No outside agencies. I repeat, no outside agencies. This is an internal matter. He's alive. I want him. I'm a tactical squad and meet me in my office now.
Yes, sir. Mr. Braden, you will continue this search.
Meisner leaves him. In his office, Drumgul switches on a light and walks over to his bank of monitors, inspecting them carefully. None of them shows any sign of Frank. He turns around and finds himself face to face with Frank. Frank holds a knife to his throat. Drumgul gulps and looks at Frank. Frank's face quivers.
You won't get away with it. You know that, don't you?
They could have got out. No, I'm not going to spend my life running.
A guard spots Frank taking Drumgul out of his office.
Oh, look at this.
Frank leads Drumgul into the execution room.
Whoa, bullet, bullet!
Can't use me as a hostage.
Shut up. You recognize that chair?
Huh?
You built it, didn't you?
Get in.
Get in there!
Don't even think about moving.
He straps Drumgul into the electric chair.
You're gonna take me to hell, huh? You're gonna be a tour guide now. I'll show you how!
He moves round the chair and fastens Drumgul's wrists.
Move your leg!
Dallas, be fried the way you're gonna fry. Huh? First base, took him downstairs.
You broke his goddamn neck!
He tightens a restraint around Drumgul's neck.
Fry, he's no perfect fit.
Frank lowers the electrode down onto Drumgul's skull.
Can't make this work, Frank. You're not smart enough. You're too stupid. You're scum.
Shut up! I'll show you scum.
Frank goes to the controls.
You can't kill a man, Frank. You're not a murderer. You don't have the guts.
Frank pulls a lever, powering up the electric chair's control panel. The guards run towards the room.
10 more years. Isn't that what you said? How about 20? How about 30? Nah, it doesn't matter what they give me. Because you won't be satisfied. You've got me for life.
Make a hole!
Take it down!
The guards round the execution room's door.
Why are you doing life for nothing?
Braden joins Meisner.
Come on, lean on it, man! Lean on it!
You're gonna break that door down, Frank. And when they come in here, they're going to take your fucking skull apart. You're going to beg me to let them kill you.
He turns to the door. The chair's voltmeter reaches a lethal 2,400 volts. Drumgul looks over at Frank, who looks up to the death lever that will administer the charge. He reaches up and binds his hand to it.
No!
The door begins to give way.
No!
The door opens and the guards rush in. They smash the death cell's windows.
Shoot me!
Don't shoot!
Shoot me, come on!
He has his hand taped to the
window! Shoot, let's have it!
No! No! Don't shoot!
Hold your fire! Hold your fire! Come on, shoot!
The guards train their weapons on Frank.
Hold your fire!
The guards lower their weapons. Meissner looks at Frank.
Relax, just relax.
Braden comes in.
Glad you're here, Meissner. This wouldn't be official without witnesses.
He's bluffing. He's trying to get me to take responsibility for his escape attempt, just like before.
I don't want a confession. You set me up. You set everything up!
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about Chick Webber. The goons. The cop that was gonna rape Melissa. Dallas. The killing of the kid. Guilty on all counts.
Prove it! Prove it, Frank. That's your problem. You can't prove anything.
I don't have to prove nothing. I came here for an execution.
I demand to be released from here!
Frank grips the death lever.
No! No!
Don't do it, Leone. Don't do it.
Take it easy.
You deserve payback.
Frank!
Please, Frank.
Frank turns away from him.
Don't kill me. It's true.
Frank looks back, then over at Meissner.
I confess. I confess, Mr. Meissner. Everything that he said was true. I set him up. Everything.
Meissner looks at Frank.
No, have mercy. Please. Don't kill me. Don't.
See you in hell, from God.
Frank pulls the lever. Drumgul suddenly realizes he's not dying. Uncomprehending, Meissner looks around. Frank reaches into his pocket and pulls out a fuse.
Works better with this.
He holds up the fuse for Meissner to see.
Take him to the hall, Mr. Meissner. Mr. Braden, take the prisoner to the hall! Cuff him.
Yes, sir.
And somebody get me out of this chair.
Braden cuffs Frank. Three other guards release Drumgul from the chair. He stands up and mops his brow with a handkerchief.
Thank you, Mr. Meissner. I say take him to the hall.
I can't do that. Take the warden into custody.
Yes, sir.
I said take him to the hall. What are you doing?
Cuff him.
Stop it! I am warden of this institution, and you will obey me. Stop that! That was just a stupid confession to try and save my life. Are you crazy, Mr. Meissner?
No, but you are. Until this matter is resolved in a judicial inquiry, you will remain in our custody.
Frank bows his head.
I'll have your ass for this. I'll have your ass.
Move him.
Two guards hustle the handcuffed Drumgul out of the execution room. Meissner walks over to Frank and looks at him. Then he and Frank turn and watch the departing Drumgul.
I only wanted to do my time, Kat.
Get your chance. Move him.
Two guards march Frank away. Meissner watches them go, then looks down thoughtfully at the fuse Frank took. Sometime later, and the inmates stand either side of the path leading through the exercise yard to the main gates. Walking down the path are Frank in his civilian clothes and Captain Meissner. As they walk along, Frank shakes hands with the other inmates.
Hey, Ernie.
Hey, Frank.
Eclipse.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, big man.
Yeah. That okay?
It's all right.
Meissner inspects a cigar Eclipse hands Frank.
Got this one from Fidel Castro himself.
Frank smiles and shakes Eclipse's hand.
See you, big man.
Okay.
As Frank goes, Eclipse pats him on the back and gives him the thumbs up. A pair of heavy steel doors open and Frank and Meissner step through into a holding yard. The doors close behind them.
Hold it! Crack the outside!
The doors open.
You know what I'm gonna miss most about you, Captain?
What's that?
Your
incredible smile.
Stone-faced, Meissner turns to look at Frank, his eyes hidden behind mirrored shades. Suddenly he cracks a warm smile. Frank smiles and the two men shake hands.
Take care of yourself,
Johnny. Thanks, Captain.
Frank walks out through the final sets of solid steel doors to freedom, and Melissa, who stands waiting for him beside her black muscle car. The smile fades from the captain's face.
Lock 'em!
Frank runs to Melissa and sweeps her up in his arms. The doors close as Meissner walks back inside. In slow motion, Frank and Melissa kiss. The picture freezes. ITFC audio description by John Walskill and Alan Blyton. It seems I've hardly had to steal my clothes.